at the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, you've read our next guest for years if you live in the Pacific Northwest. Lindsey Schnell is covering Oregon State, among other things, for the newspaper in our region. She went on to the USA Today, 7 years at USA Today, covering sports and news, and now she has taken a job covering college basketball for The Athletic. And I know she'll crush it. She's not only one of my favorite people in sports media, she's incredibly talented and is the kind of person that goes to the mattresses, goes, you know, makes the extra call, tells the story in the way it needs to be told. She's joining us now. Congratulations on your move.
Hey, thank you so much. That's very kind of you to say, especially because, as you are aware, my dad's favorite sports reporter is none other than John Canzano.
That needs to be on your Twitter. On your Twitter profile. I expect to see that show up sometime. As your dad, thank your dad for his subscription, which I think you bought for him. But thank you, Lindsey Schnell, for saying that. Let me ask you this: who is the first call when you make that move and you take the job, or you accept it, or do you have someone in the industry, or do you have is it dad?
Well, actually, it's funny because I ran into you in person at the mall with one of your daughters, and I almost told you first because I was so excited, but I was keeping it quiet. I called my best friend. You know, I think that our families often, like, don't understand our jobs fully, not in a bad way. It's just how it works. And so my best friend knew I had applied, had been, like, talking through things with me as I interviewed, and so I was very excited and told her. But also, she's not a journalist, so I could trust that she wasn't going to gossip about it within our industry, because, you know, we're such a gossipy group. When you tell one reporter, odds are it's going to spread pretty quickly.
Yeah, you bumped into me and the middle daughter. I think we're out at Bridgeport Village, and we're crossing the street. Give me an idea. When you see me with my middle daughter, do we look like normal father-daughter? What am I projecting when you see us on a shopping night?
I mean, yeah, I was a little disappointed because you didn't have a lot of shopping bags with you, so I wondered if this is probably, like, typical, like, dad is trying to talk daughter out of buying things, you know, or won't let her get what she wants. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
But I'm
channeling stingy.
Normal.
Channeling stingy dad. Give me an idea. The Athletic brings you in. You're going to cover college hoops. Will it be national? Will you be more regional? What will be the scope of this for you?
I mean, I'm a national writer, and I'm going in as a national writer, but they have two other national writers who live in different regions. One lives in North Carolina, and the other one lives in the Midwest. So by default, I will do a lot of West Coast stuff. You know, also, there's so many games that tip so late on the East Coast, and I'm usually awake watching them. That'll be helpful. So immediately, you know, upon taking the job, I joked to someone like, hey, I'm always happy to be back on the Gonzaga beat, because if you live in the Pacific Northwest, that is the team that you follow no matter what season it is or what they're ranked. So I think you'll be a little bit of everything. Kind of weird to be starting in the middle of the season, of course. So it might not actually be until next basketball season that we get a complete idea, but you know, I'll tell you this, right now I'm watching a Marquette-DePaul game, and depending on what happens, might have to write off of it. That's definitely not in the Northwest. So, you know, important to familiarize yourself with the whole country.
I like it. I also know that, you know, we got a few things going on in our region. Dana Altman and Oregon look very good in the Big Ten. Wayne Tinkle has got the United Nations roster with seven different languages, and they're playing well. On the women's side, you got University of Portland, Michael Meek, just fantastic basketball. I keep telling people who have young daughters who play basketball, go see University of Portland play.
Yes.
You can get in the front row and you can see, like, you know, a top 15 team play. You have Gonzaga coming into the Pac-12. You're kind of sitting pretty here, Schnell.
Oh, totally. I mean, you bring up Oregon and Dana Altman. It's just really incredible. I think long before the transfer portal like kind of took over college sports. Altman was so good, is so good at just getting a new roster to play together every year and developing guys. So it's weird to see them playing in the Big Ten, of course, playing so many new teams, but they are doing really well. And, you know, talking about the Zags and Oregon State, they play in Corvallis on Thursday. I'm headed down there to watch them. Curious to see what type of game that is. I'm sure it's going to be like when the Zags play at UP, you know, it's going to be a sellout. Gil is going to be rocking and excited to try to upset a top 25 team. And I agree with you that the Beavers have looked a lot better on the men's side. So it's, yeah, we're, I mean, I've always thought we're in a good region for basketball. You know that. I've been preaching that for many years.
The Oregon State women's program and Scott Ruick, it was one of the more heartbreaking things to see that team Elite Eight quality. They had Final Four written all over them. If they could have brought it, run it back for one more year, and then watch the roster just disintegrate and fall through Ruick's fingers. What is the state with him in your mind in that Oregon State women's program right now?
I mean, talk about taking a group of ragtags, like a bunch of kids that were not on their radar at all, and they're in the mix now in the WCC. They got two huge wins on the road at Gonzaga and at Portland. And they're finding ways to win. I told him after they beat LMU at the buzzer, which is a team they're probably like 20 points better than, but they have a habit right now of playing to the level of their competition, which when you're playing UConn is great, but there have been some other teams that it's not been great. His squad reminds me of when West Albany High School was like rolling in 5A football in our state and winning championships and competing for championships. Their motto was winners find ways, losers find excuses. And right now, Oregon State is finding a way to win. You know, I think so highly of Scott, his ability to teach the game. He told me once years ago when he first took over at Oregon State that winning at the Division III level is so much about covering weakness. And so that has served him really well. He's just figuring out how to cover the weakness of his team currently, this like practically brand new roster, and play to their strengths. And he's such a good defensive coach. They know how to take away other teams' strengths. So I fully expect them to compete for the WCC tournament championship and the automatic bid in March, you know, provided they stay healthy. But I just, he loves Oregon State, and he's had multiple opportunities to leave. Like, and I think last year a lot of people thought he was going to jump, but he takes a lot of pride in winning at a place a lot of other people think is impossible to win at.
And I know, you know, he's got his mom who listens to the show, who's right there locally. I've kind of wondered, like, if I'm Oregon State, I really am focused on trying to keep Ruick happy and do some things that show him that, hey, women's basketball is important. You know, do you have a sense of what Oregon State could do to send that message to him that they're serious about mattering in 2026 and beyond?
Well, I mean, he makes $1 million, so that's a good start. There are less than 20 women's coaches in the country that make $1 million, and he has definitely earned that. I think the big thing would be, you know, in this new NIL world, they are short-staffed right now. You know, they're down an assistant and technically down another support staff person. And I don't know what their budget looks like, but I think anytime you can give a head coach money to build out their staff, that goes a long way. I mean, there's a reason that Alabama won a bunch of championships because Nick Saban had, you know, 25 assistants because they had the money for it. So I think that would be the biggest thing. Obviously, they have a beautiful practice facility. I don't think that Gil needs like a major upgrade. Maybe other people do, but it's old school on purpose. So I think that those things are huge. And just making sure that however the collective is working at Oregon State, that there is a commitment to getting the collective to be like for women's basketball too, you know, because I think they can continue to compete for conference championships, and you get in the tournament, man, anything's possible.
Lindsay Schnell with us now with The Athletic. That's where you can read her. Lindsay, the Power Four Conference is floating this idea that would allow them to take over – the NCAA championships, including the NCAA tournament, which is precious to sports fans. I know what they're after. They want more access. Their conferences are growing. They want to get more of their conference members into the tournament. But I am scared of this because they will mess it up. They will ruin the tournament. What are they trying to do here, and is there any way to stop them?
Well, I think that the part I would be scared about is the fact that the NCAA has a long history of burying its head in the sand and pretending that bad things are not happening. Right. And so we might wake up tomorrow and this might already have happened. I do agree with you that, you know, the possibility to mess it up, like the tournament is so good as is. I have really just shuddered at the idea of, you know, expanding it past 68 teams, which has been talked about. Like, 68 is a really good number. I didn't want to leave 64, but I got on board with 68. But there's a lot of bad basketball. You know, I'm watching DePaul is beating Marquette right now, and DePaul has not won a game in a Big East conference game in 727 days. They don't need to be in the NCAA tournament. And what are the Power Four conferences trying to do? Make more money. That's all anyone cares about right now, you know, unfortunately. So I am also, you know, like I said, hopeful that it doesn't happen, but I'm just nervous about, you know, last year when the Pac-12 was falling apart, I kept thinking, is the NCAA even aware of this?
And I know.
What's going on in Indiana?
Kelly Graves at Oregon, how are they positioned in your mind to matter in the Big Ten Conference? He's such a good coach.
He's such a good coach, and they got such a good transfer in Deja Kelly. She's one of the best one-on-one players in the country. Her ability to take people off the bounce is huge, and I think anytime you have that in your back pocket, you know that when you're down in a close game or up in a close game, like, you've got someone that can go get you a basket. So I really like it. I also think a big thing with the Pac-12, all the Pac-12 teams that went to the Big Ten is not a conference known for playing defense, and the Pac-12 was. So I think all those Pac-12 teams that went over there, that's an advantage they have, including the Ducks. I think Kelly is an excellent coach, always has a good game plan. The hard thing is, you know, you're going against teams now where it's a close game. Like, you know, for years when Scott Ruick and Kelly Graves would go against each other, they knew what the other one was going to do late in games because they had coached against each other so much. Well, now you're coaching against people that you haven't gone against that often, so you're not as familiar. So there's like an adjustment period within that. And I am curious to see, too, we saw how the cross-country travel really took a toll on visiting teams during the football season. I'm curious to see how that plays out throughout the basketball season.
Lindsay, you know, I want to touch on the WNBA because I do think there's kind of some synergy with the basketball that's going on in our region and Portland getting a WNBA franchise. How do you expect that to impact our region? Like, you know, to have a WNBA team in Portland, well, you know, as the league expands to 15, I've often wondered who's going to coach it. I've wondered, you know, could Sabrina end up as a, you know, a player on that team? You know, what are you thinking about as Portland gets ready to have a WNBA franchise?
I think people who are hoping Sabrina comes back to Oregon need to let go of that dream.
No!
She's in the biggest media market in the world and very happy. I think it's awesome. You know, obviously our state has a long history of supporting women's sports. The Thorns are so well supported at the professional level, but then Oregon State, down to the high school level. I mean, it's funny, last year when Caitlin Clark was a senior at Iowa, I went to an Iowa game, and it was great, you know, to see a sellout, but I wasn't in awe of it the way other people were, because I saw when Sabrina did that at Oregon. I saw when Sydney Reese did that at Oregon State. So I think that it will be incredible for our state, and I especially like that we're going to get that. Like, so much of the good basketball in our state has been down south, you know, and there are so many devoted Oregon State and Oregon fans that drive down for those games throughout the season, but it'll be great to have something right here in our backyard in Portland. I think the biggest thing is that team, the Portland WNBA team, is going to start at like an incredible year. You know, this season, the 2025 season in the WNBA is going to be kind of weird because the CBA is going to be renegotiated going into 2026. So everyone's going to be on one-year contracts this year. And then 2026 is when teams are going to be able to step up and offer teams, offer players really good money. And I think we are going to see a significant jump in salaries. What that means is that new teams, if they play their cards right and they're smart financially, could put together a roster that could compete right away. So I'm really excited to see it.
Sabrina's going to be a free agent. Sabrina will be a free agent. Portland's going to have some money. Like, you know, come on.
Okay, here's my prediction is what I was going to say. I don't think we're going to see Sabrina come back here, but I think we could absolutely see Kelsey Plum, who is from the West Coast and lit things up at the University of Washington, land in Portland.
There you go.
That's my prediction.
That's why you come to this show.
If you want to dream about Sabrina, you can. I know you're not the only one. And also, you know, Phil Knight has some influence. Who knows what he's saying to her and her Oregon football husband, Hronis Grasso. So we'll see. But Hronis, I think she's staying in New York.
Hronis is a great guy. Listen, the only reason I think about it is we didn't get to see her win that national championship. It feels like there was that, to me, the pandemic was awful. But from a sports perspective, one of the worst byproducts of the pandemic, the most unfortunate byproduct was that women's NCAA tournament where we knew Oregon was going to the Final Four and had a shot to win it. It didn't. They didn't get to play it out.
I mean, keep in mind you're talking to an Oregon State alum here, so I was not as sold on the Ducks winning the national championship. But yes, and I do think that was, you know, Sabrina was really open about that being like a big motivator for her this year when she won a WNBA title for the first time. So I think it's great. I think, you know, she's awesome. It's fun to see her come back. You never know. But I think the other great thing, though, is we're going to see more good players come out of Oregon and Oregon State. And with the WNBA expanding, there's going to be more opportunity for them to land somewhere.
100%. Okay. Lindsay, final question for you. Look, we only have a couple of minutes, but you're starting this new gig at The Athletic. Is there, you know, a story that you want to come out of the gates with, or do you just want to cover this stuff? Do you have an approach? Or are you just trying to learn some basketball?
I mean, I feel like, you know, I know basketball, the sport, very well, obviously. If you're at my house, we're watching ESPN. I go over to other people's house, and they're like, watching a Bravo marathon. I'm like, hey, there's a great mid-major game right now.
It's not.
Can we turn it on? So I got a couple things up my sleeve, but I'm kind of waiting and seeing what happens right off the bat. But I have some fun ideas, and March Madness will be here before you know it, which is always fun. Also the place where good stories often go to die. But to me, the big thing is, you know, you and I worked together at the Oregonian under a great executive editor and Peter Bhatia. And the thing he always used to tell us is be a must read. And I really bought into that. And, you know, you're a must read now, obviously, with your Substack. My dad would be the first person to say that.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Many times that my dad's like, you know, Canzano reported blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, I'm a reporter too. And he's like, yeah, but this is what Canzano said.
Thank you to your dad.
My goal is to be a must-read also at The Athletic.
Well, you are, and I will be reading. Lindsay Schnell, congrats on the move to The Athletic. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much. Tell all the girls I said hi.
I will. There it is. Lindsay Schnell going away. She caught me. I was with the middle daughter, and we were Christmas shopping. Okay, in my defense, we were kind of on a mission, so we didn't have a bunch of shopping bags with us. So it's not that I'm a stingy dad who wouldn't let my kid buy something at Bridgeport
Village.
Did
you just get called out for being cheap? Is that what I heard?
I think she was calling me out and saying, like, we were crossing the street. We were kind of in a hurry. It was late. And we ran into Lindsay, and she later said, oh, man, I have some good news. I can't share it yet. And so here is the good news. She's on her way from USA Today to The Athletic. She deserves it. She's worked hard. Leave it here. Our final segment is ahead.